Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. You may be seated this morning for the reading of the Gospel. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up and quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This story here in the gospel lesson this morning is read numerous times during funeral services, for numerous funerals. It is because it speaks of death, but it also speaks of dealing with death, and it also gives people hope. Death does surround us. We may not always want to think about it, and it's probably healthy not to think about it constantly, but death is around us. And sometimes, though, it presents itself in a way that we cannot escape it. For instance, the story that Vicar Hans told last Wednesday evening about overhearing the master sergeant ordering stands for rifles that would point down, that are used at funeral services of soldiers, placing that order before the unit heads over to Afghanistan, knowing that there will be casualties, knowing that some soldiers will be killed and die. Sometimes death hits us hard, or we know it's a reality, and we think about it when the doctor says, "You have an incurable illness. It's time for you to plan your life's ends business." Or when somebody close to you dies, you know of that reality of death, and it also makes you face your own death. When you're young, you don't think about death. That's far off and far off and away. And as youth, you do crazy things, you take risks, you take chances, and it's a wonder that any of us ever escape our teens or our early 20s by the chances that we have taken. But then as you start to grow older, a glimpse of death starts to hit in different and various ways. Maybe it's going to the eye doctor, and the doctor says, "You need stronger glasses." Or going to the dentist, and the dentist says, "That tooth needs to be pulled." Or the aches and pains don't seem to go away quite as quick as they used to. Or maybe they never go away. Maybe it's going through a loss of a business or losing a job. Or maybe it's going through a divorce. Signs of our death, signs of our mortality. And as you start to grow older then too, your hair may start to turn gray, or it may even fall out. Also too comes the point when family members say, "I'm sorry, but it's not safe for you to drive anymore. We need to take your car keys." Or it's not safe for you to stay at your home any longer by yourself. We get those glimpses of death throughout life, just about every day of our life. They hit us hard sometimes, and they strike us. Here in our gospel lesson, it is a story of death. It's a story of the death of Lazarus and how the people deal with it. It's also a foreshadowing of Jesus' death, which is coming shortly after this story takes place. God didn't bring death into the world. God is not responsible for death in this world. People brought death into this world through sin. Death is the consequence of our sin, and all of us are born into that sin. And so we face death. Our bodies are mortal. Every one of us one day will die. Death, we do face death in our lives. God didn't bring it here, we brought it here. But God wants life. He wants to give us life. He wants us to live life abundantly. And so God in His grace has given us a way to deal with death. Even though we know that we will have to face death, He has given us a way to deal with death. And that way is through grief, through a grief process. And in that process, there's a lot of emotions that happen to us. There may be denial. There may be shock. There may be anger. There may be trying to bargain with God in one way or the other. There may be anger. There may be eventually acceptance to that death. Here in our gospel lesson this morning, we see different ways that the people did deal in their grief to that death of Lazarus. When Martha first meets Jesus on the road, you can see a couple of emotions here. She says, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." In that we see possibly denial that he would not have died, but death is inevitable. We also see in there maybe some anger, that she is angry that Jesus was not here to do something about that. But there's also hope, because she also says, "I believe that whatever you ask of the Father, he will grant you." And then when Mary meets Jesus in the same place, Mary says, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Again, we may hear that anger or that accusation or that denial. But then the bystanders are right there too. And they say, "Surely, if this man could have healed the blind man, couldn't he have done something about Lazarus?" And that's that emotion of blame, trying to find a blame for why this person died. A lot of times when someone close to us dies, we ask why. Why did they die? Why did they have to die? Particularly with a younger person, or maybe somebody with a tragic accident. We say, why? Why did they have to die? And we start to look for places to place some blame, whether it's on other people or situations or choices that we made. Or a lot of times we put that blame upon ourselves. We ask why. All these emotions float around a death. But as we work through those emotions, as we work through that process of grief, healing starts to take place. Because as we empty ourselves of those emotions, as we work through those things, we open ourselves up. Other people help us through the process, and we empty ourselves. We release ourselves of all those emotions. And when we are emptied, God comes in. He gives us that hope. He gives us hope of life. When someone close to you dies, there is that grief, all that whole process of grief. And everybody grieves in a different way. Some get through it faster than others. Sometimes it takes years to go through that grief process. But as we work through that and as we come out of that, we learn that life continues on. That we are still alive. And that life is good. That God wants to give us life and give us life abundantly. So that we can continue to live. To continue to live here on this earth and do the will of the Father. But even more so, it's not only life here on this earth that God wants us to live, but God wants us to live eternally with Him forever. Verse 35 here in our reading today, chapter 11 of John, is an interesting verse. Verse 35. It is known as the shortest verse in the Bible. The Revised Standard Version translates it in two words, and I know some of the other versions do as well. Translates verse 35 in two words: Jesus wept. For Sunday school kids who had to memorize Bible verses, this was one of the favorites. But this very short verse has so much meaning in that. For one thing, it says that Jesus weeps. He cried. Jesus was sad. And I think he cried. Mary started to cry. Martha started to cry. The bystanders started to cry. And I think for Jesus too, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And he cries for that death too. But I think he also cries because of the compassion he feels for all those other people gathered around. The compassion that he feels for Mary and for Martha and for all those friends of Lazarus. He has that compassion. But even more so than that, I think he's crying because of the compassion he has for humanity. Because all of humanity will go through death, will experience that dying. And Jesus cries for humanity. And that is the story of Christ, though. Just these two short words, Jesus wept, is the story of God's salvation. Because God did not have to come down to this earth. God didn't have to experience or humble himself to take on human flesh, this frail human flesh that is susceptible to death. But God did that out of his mercy and out of his grace. He became one of us, and he experienced that. And we see here in this verse, he was truly human because he does cry. He does weep. It affects him. He is sad. He too is in the midst of that grieving process for his friend, for his fellow people who were there, and for all of humanity. And Christ came to this earth to do something about it. As I mentioned earlier, this story does contain death. It contains the death or the story of Lazarus, but it also contains a foreshadowing of Christ's own death. At the beginning of the story, when Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to Bethany, Bethany was very close to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the hotbed of the Jewish religious leaders who were angry at Jesus. They knew that there was danger there. They knew what faced him if he came close or got into their clutches one more time. And Thomas says, "Let us go with him so that we may die with him." They knew what they were facing. And in the paragraph right after our story today, within that paragraph, there is that story that the religious leaders set their minds and start working on the plot that Jesus has to die. Jesus was willing to die. He was willing to die for us because Jesus did not stay away. He came to Bethany. And next week we celebrate Palm Sunday where Jesus goes into Jerusalem. And then the events follow where Jesus is arrested. He is tried. He is beaten. And he is killed. Jesus himself faces that death. But Jesus is willing to do that because once again, we brought death into this world. Our sin brought the death into this world. And by Jesus dying on that cross, he takes our punishment. He takes that death and he defeats it. He defeats it for us so that we might have life. Christ has come to us. We know that we do face death. He has given us a way to continue on living, even though we face death each and every day, even though we experience the tragedy of death. We can keep on living. And Jesus gives us hope. God has blessed us with his grace. He has given us his mercy so that we are made right, so that we can live forever with him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.